You have been listening to The Last Trump, a radio talk show sponsored by Joshua Revolution. If The Last Trump has been a blessing to you, please let us know by sending a testimony on how the program has helped you. If you would like to support The Last Trump financially, you can send financial gifts to Joshua Revolution, P.O. Box 923, Grand Island, New York, 14072, or go to our website at joshuarevolution.org. We thank you for your help and prayers, and remember to tune in next week at 8:30 p.m. for The Last Trump, a study on end times prophecy.
To the Cross-Eyed Radio Program, sponsored by Joshua Revolution. Cross-Eyed is a radio talk show dedicated to proclaiming the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. We want to encourage you to open your Bibles with us as we study the life-changing revelation found within the scriptures in how to live the victorious Christian life. Now, let's go into the studio of Revolution Radio with your host, Pastor Mike Chory.
Welcome tonight to Cross-Eyed Radio. And we are coming off the heels of The Last Trump. And people tonight, if you prayed with us on The Last Trump, we want you to call in. Operators are waiting. And tonight, we want to give you a special gift for all those that prayed tonight to come back to your first love and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. We have a copy of the book, Cross-Eyed. It'll help you to learn the message of the cross and how to keep Jesus first in your life. We're going to send it to you postage paid free of charge. We have it in a Spanish edition for anyone that would like it that way. And of course, in English as well. And if you prayed with us tonight, you were touched by the message out of Revelation chapter 2, the Church of Ephesus. Call tonight. Say, I prayed with Pastor Mike and Brother Kirk. And we will send you Cross-Eyed, How to Have Victory Over Sin, free of charge, postage paid. The number to call, 716-229-8000. That's 716-229-8000. Or up in Canada, 1-888-444-2920. So give us a call tonight, and we would love to get that book to you. I want to mention tonight something that sometimes we fail to mention. Is our ministry at Cross-Eyed and The Last Trump. We, of course, these two broadcasts are part of the ministry of Joshua Revolution. The ministry of Joshua Revolution is our evangelistic outreach to young people, families, churches. We do crusades, conferences. We have just started to travel to other countries. We have invitations in 2025 to Mexico. And to Africa, we take trips to Israel. We do what's called the Jesus End Times Tour. And we're going to be planning those meetings again this summer. Love to come to your church, come to your area and be there. We bring our worship team. We bring speakers. And all of this ministry is made possible through donations of people just like you that say, I want to support Joshua Revolution on a monthly basis. And you can do that just by simply, you know, writing the ministry. And Joshua Revolution, you can write us at P.O. Box 923, Grand Island, New York, 14072. That's P.O. Box 923, Grand Island, New York, 14072. And you can become a monthly supporter, or you can call tonight and say, I'd like to become a monthly supporter of Joshua Revolution. You get a monthly newsletter, and you'll be a part of now what is really worldwide. Our podcast, we have The Last Trump on podcast. Of course, we have high school ministry, and we are traveling now to other countries. The Lord is doing amazing things. Pray for us if you think of it. We need his prayers. We are always under attack. Listen, if you do anything for God, you're going to be attacked. But thank God we have a local church. We don't do anything without the local church. And our local church, Cross River Tabernacle, is some of the finest Christian folks you'll ever want to meet. Listen, if you're looking for a local church that's preaching the cross, believes and teaches the Holy Spirit's power for today, believes that through the cross, one is delivered from the bondage of sin, and preaches the end time message, the rapture of the church. We are pre-trib, followed by the 7-year great tribulation, followed by the second coming of Jesus Christ, followed by the millennial kingdom, and then the new heavens and the new earth. We teach all of this in our church, in our Bible studies. We have a weekly Bible study called the School of Joshua. We are right now at the beginning stages of a building program to build a new sanctuary and other facilities for our ministry. And we believe we're in the last days, friend. Whatever we do, we've got to do it quickly. And if you are looking for a Bible-believing church that is Spirit-filled, why don't you come and visit us? We are located at 2920 Grand Island Boulevard. Our service times are 10 a.m. every Sunday. Our weekly Bible study, 7 o'clock, right on Wednesday night. Right now, we're in prayer 5 nights out of the week. We'll have our prayer meeting tomorrow here at the church at 6, I believe it's 6 o'clock, 6, or actually 6:30 on Sunday night. And we would love to have you be a part of this. And this ministry is growing. This ministry is reaching. And I'll tell you why. Because the Lord moves through the message of the cross. And I know that wherever the message of the cross is preached, God's going to move. And we have dear pastor friends that are a part of our fellowship called Preachers of the Cross. And they are preaching the cross as well. And we can give you a list of those churches in the greater Buffalo area. If you're looking for one, if you're not close to Grand Island, we can help you find a Cross Center church. So I just want to throw that in tonight. We don't always, you know, discuss those kind of things, but it's probably, we should do it more often. But we want to thank you, the listener that listens each and every week and is a part of this ministry. And of course, our signature message and our radio program, Cross-Eyed, has been on for now. I think we began in 2010. So we've been on a long time, friend. The Lord has provided, and it is all because of this message we preach. And tonight here on Cross-Eyed Radio, I want you to get your Bible out. I want to take you tonight back where it all began. I want to take you to the Garden of Eden. And this is really where we learn where sin began. We see that God, in the beginning, created Adam and Eve. And it was in the garden that Adam and Eve were tempted, and they fell. And when Adam fell, the whole world fell. Every problem, every sickness, every disease, death itself is caused as a result of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And we're going back now to Genesis chapter 3. And I want to read these verses for you tonight. Some people really don't understand a lot of what actually happened in that garden so long ago, where sin began. And again, the one thing that has caused all the heartache and all the pain in the world throughout the centuries is sin. I define sin this way. The S stands for selfishness. You live for pleasing yourself. You don't live for God. The I stands for indifference. You just don't go all the way for God. You kind of stay in the middle. You know, I'm not an atheist. I'm not a hater of God, but I'm also not a follower of Jesus. I stay in the middle. And friend, you know what you find in the middle of the road? Dead animals. I mean, you don't want to be in the middle of indifference towards God. He sent his one and only son all the way to the cross. Jesus bled and died for you. I mean, he wore a crown of thorns. When they put that crown of thorns, I've been to Israel 10 times. I've seen the thorn bushes that they believe was used to make the crown of thorns. And I'm talking two inch nails, crown of thorns, 2 inch thorns that pierce the brow of Jesus Christ as they put that crown. And they took a club and they beat the crown, driving those thorns into the skull of Jesus Christ, the Creator. I mean, they put a bandana around his face and they slapped him and said, "Tell us now, prophet, who just hit you?" I mean, they spit upon him. They laughed at him. They mocked him. They whipped him 39 times, the Roman lashing with the cat of nine tail, which was a whip that had three strands on it. So really it wasn't 39 whips. It was 120 whips minus three, 117 stripes that Jesus took for you. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Do you understand? Sin is a big deal. And if you don't understand disobeying God and breaking God's laws is a big deal, just look at the bloody cross and the blood and torture Jesus Christ had to go through for us to be forgiven. I mean, he walked that cross up the hill on Mount Calvary. They nailed him to the cross, his hands and his feet. For 6 hours, he hung on that cross. Adam was created. Adam and Eve was created on the sixth day. Six is the number of man. He was hanging there for all of mankind. When you look at the word sin in the Greek, it is the word harmateia, and it means missing the mark, missing the true goal and scope of life. We see this word sin is used in the game of archery. I took archery back in college, actually, as a class, and you have to hold that bow and you pull the bow with the arrow in it, and you have to hold it so tightly and carefully and without any shaking. And when you look at that bullseye, that little red bullseye in the distance, and you think you got it, you let that arrow go. And if that arrow does not hit that red bullseye, in archery, it's called a sin, missing the mark. And the Bible says we have all missed the mark. We have all sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then it says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is spiritual death. What does death mean? It means separation. We know physical death. When a man or a woman dies, their body is separated, or let me say it better, their soul and spirit is separated from their body. I mean, I've been in the presence of death. As a preacher of the gospel, I've seen it several times. And it's like you can see almost literally the life is just sucked out of that body. That person is no longer there. The body just becomes a shell because they have died and there has been a separation. Well, the separation of spiritual death means that we would be separated from God, who is holy, who has never sinned, for all of eternity in a place called hell. And the Bible tells us the whole world has sinned. Every person who has ever lived. I've asked this question to Christians. Were you born a sinner or were you conceived in sin? And a lot of people don't know that, but David said in Psalm 51, verse 5, that I was conceived in sin. And then where did that sin come from? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, in Adam all have died. The sin nature, the propensity in mankind to break God's laws was transferred from Adam, the seed of Adam, to humanity. That it was not transferred through Eve. Even though Eve was the first one who ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it was when she gave it to Adam and Adam ate of that forbidden fruit, that is when sin entered, not only entered the world, it entered the world with Eve, but now it would be transferred from one to another. For in the seed of Adam, all died. And so you're not born a sinner, you're conceived in sin. That means you come out of the womb crying, you come out of the womb with sin already in you. Somebody said, well, you know, why am I responsible? Then I had no choice. Adam and Eve had a choice, but I didn't choose to be a sinner. No, you didn't. You were born that way. You were conceived that way. But friend, you have a choice on what to do with your sin. Because God provided a way for you to be forgiven, a way for you to be saved. He sent his one and only begotten Son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. And it's your choice. You can choose to receive that or reject that. So you didn't choose to be a sinner, but you do choose to be forgiven or not forgiven. And when we go back into Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1 of Genesis 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, the Lord said to Adam and Eve, of all the trees in the Garden of Eden, you can eat from all of them. You can enjoy every one of them, except the one tree in the middle, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That one you cannot eat. And the devil comes in the form of a serpent, and he lies to Adam and Eve. And he says, first of all, he questions what God has said. He said, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He knew that's what God said. But he was testing them. And then Eve says, we can eat of all the trees, but the one tree we can't eat of, because if we eat of that tree, we will die. And the serpent said to her, you shall not surely die. He took the word of God and he deceived them and he lied to them, because when Adam and Eve ate from that forbidden fruit, the Bible says their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked and they hid themselves. And God came in the midst of the garden and he called out to Adam, where art thou? Where are you, Adam? And when Adam answered, God wanted to know, why are you hiding? Why are you hiding, Adam? Because He said, we were naked. Who told you you were naked? You see, before Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they were clothed in righteousness. There was no shame. The moment they disobeyed God and they ate from that forbidden tree, their eyes were open. They were ashamed. They saw their nakedness. Listen, sin brings shame. And sin, the sinner wants to hide his sin. He wants to hide from God. And can I say this to you tonight? You can run, you can try to hide from God, but one day you're going to have to face him. One day you're going to have to answer for what you did in this lifetime. And God wants you to know tonight, he loves you. He wants to provide forgiveness for you. But the problem is you keep running from him. You keep thinking, because you've been lied to by the devil, that life is better without having God in my life. But I learned, I don't know how long it'll take you to learn it, but it took me 20 years to learn that my life was a mess. I was living for the first 20 years of my life as a man that just wanted to do what I wanted to do. I didn't go to church. I was trying to be a star athlete. I was trying to go to college. I had relationships that were not centered on Jesus Christ. And what I didn't know, I had a mom who was praying for me that everything that I attempted to do would fail until I bowed my knees to Jesus Christ. And friend, I was losing everything from card games to pool games. My senior year of high school went down the tube. They actually closed our high school going into my senior year. My whole football season, hockey, baseball, it all of it went down the tube. I had two surgeries my senior year after having a good, good sports in our school before it closed. I was, an athlete. I played quarterback in high school football. I played on the hockey team. I played, shortstop, second base, and baseball. But my senior year, everything failed. I found myself in two different schools, three schools in just a year's time. I quit my football team. I quit my baseball team. I can remember riding the Delaware bus coming home to Buffalo. It was a rainy day. I just quit the baseball team, and I couldn't believe how everything in my senior year fell apart. And what I didn't know was God was calling me into a personal relationship with him. He wanted to forgive me of my sins, but I had to realize this life doesn't work without Jesus Christ. And when all I was doing, just like Adam and Eve, I was hiding from God. I was running from God. And spiritually speaking, I was naked. I needed Jesus Christ to come in and to clothe me with his righteousness. And in this deception of the enemy, I mean, you can see the pathway of destruction right here in Genesis 3. Number one, the serpent questions God's word. Number two, the serpent, he lies to Eve. And then number three, the serpent presents the temptation. What was the temptation? When you eat of that tree that God said you couldn't eat of, in that day you will become as gods. Satan will always dress it up. He'll always promise you more than you ever thought was possible, but it's a lie. See, one of the big sins in our life is lack of contentment. Can you just be thankful for what God has given you? Can you just be thankful for where he has placed you? Satan is going to try to he's going to try to dangle that carrot in front of you. And all that carrot is going to do, if you bite into it, it's going to lead you to more heartache and pain. I remember in college, I was dating a young girl, and she was a Catholic girl. I had just come to know the Lord, and she was attractive to me. She was fun to be with, but she wasn't born again. And I knew that God was telling me to separate that relationship. Don't continue in that relationship. But I fought it. And I was disobedient to God for many months. And finally, I realized if God was going to use me, if God was going to bless me, I had to make it right with the Lord. And I told that young girl, I said, I have to end this relationship. It's nothing at all to do with you, but it's everything to do with me and my relationship with God. I know God has a call on my life, and I cannot be in a relationship that is not honoring Him. And I can tell you, looking back, I was 20, 23, 24 years old at the time. It was the hardest decision I had to make. I mean, my flesh liked that relationship, but it wasn't of God. It wasn't blessed. And I can tell you today, and I'll even go back. I remember my sisters at the time, and they were newly saved and didn't have the discernment. They were telling me I should marry that girl. She's a very nice girl, attractive girl. But you know what? I knew in my heart she wasn't the one, because she didn't have a relationship with God. We weren't on the same page spiritually. And one of the hardest things I had to do was end that relationship. But I can tell you now, after over 30 years of marriage and 4 children, 2 grandchildren, and our children being blessed with their spouses, that was the second greatest decision I ever made. Because if I would have continued in that relationship and married that girl, it would have been outside the will of God. I'm not even sure that marriage would have ever made it. And I would have never married the beautiful, godly woman that I'm married to today and the mother of our children. See, friend, I'm trying to get something across to you tonight. Satan is a liar, and he's going to make it look good, feel good, sound good, smell good, all of it. But all it is a big fat lie to try to ruin your life. Tonight, I believe the Lord speaking to someone. You're in a relationship you shouldn't be in. Unless that girl or that young man is born again and spirit-filled, you have no business being with them. And at least they need to be born again and wanting and hungering for more of God. That is what the Bible says. Anything else is to be unequally yoked. What partnership, the Bible says, do you have, does Christ have with Belial? What partnership does the church have with the world? He said, come out from among them and be separate. And I know it's hard if you're a young person to make that decision, but listen, don't sell out for temporal pleasure, because you're going to give up a life of blessing. Jesus Christ is the answer, and He must be first in your life. And sin so easily entangles us, because sin looks good and it sounds good, but in the end, it's going to destroy you. It's true. Sin has a pleasure for a season, the Bible says. But then comes the judgment. And so tonight, learn from what happened in that Garden of Eden. The first sin ever committed was in a garden, a beautiful garden. And when they sinned, God kicked them out of that garden. And they listened to the devil. The devil came through that serpent, and he used deception in order to get them to sin. Listen, he wouldn't be a bad devil if he wasn't a good devil. He's good at deception. He is the father of lies. And tonight, make your decision. I want to turn from this world, and I want to follow Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the truth, and He is the life. And no man can come to the Father but through Jesus. This is the message of Crossside. He went to the cross. He died to pay the price for your and my sins. And if you'll receive that forgiveness, he'll give you eternal life.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You see, I'm an heir of salvation, and I'm purchased of God. Oh Lord, I'm born of His Spirit, and I'm washed in His blood. With echoes.
time, Randy, that chorus.
This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Hey, this is my song. And I'm praising my Savior.
What a great song. Randy Knapp's Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. This is my story. Oh, I love that hymn. And we were singing that last week. If you missed it, the Donnie Swaggart meetings, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning. Wow, did we have a time. And if you would like to hear those messages, if you weren't at those meetings, you can simply go online to our Facebook page, Cross River Tabernacle. And be sure to listen. Friday night, he ministered on Abraham. What a message it was. Saturday night, the sound of Pentecost, and believers were baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And then Sunday morning, I think one of the finest messages I've ever heard on the message of the cross. He took it from Revelation 12, verses 11 and 12. We've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You're going to love those messages. Cross River Tabernacle Facebook page. And tomorrow, if you're looking for a church in the greater Buffalo area, why don't you come on out to Grand Island, a grand place to visit and come worship the Lord with us. 10 a.m. We have children's ministry. We have, church for those grades, kindergarten and up to fifth grade. And then, of course, our regular service, our worship team, and the message and the people just love the Lord. I believe you will feel the presence of God and the Lord will touch your life. Again, we're located at 2920 Grand Island Boulevard, Cross River Tabernacle. Also want to mention to everyone, our ministry, we are excited about our future. We are in the early plans of building on here a sanctuary and also a multi-purpose center. And I just ask for your prayers on that. It's a pretty big project. And we believe we're building it for an end time revival. We are praying that God's going to send one more great outpouring of his Spirit before he raptures his bride. And for more information about our ministry, you can go to joshuarevolution.org. And tonight, we are offering the Cross-Eyed book for anyone tonight that prays with us to give their life to the Lord. Or if you are listening tonight, you haven't received our signature book, Cross-Eyed, How to Have Victory Over Sin, you can order that tonight by calling the operator who's here tonight. Call 716-229-8000. Or 1-888-444-2920. I want to give a shout out tonight to all our listeners up in Canada. I know we've had some strained relationships in recent days between America and Canada. I've heard, some are booing the national anthem and different things like that. But I just want you to know we are one in Christ, and nothing will change that. I love Canada. I go up there with my wife. I would go up more if we had the time, but we love Niagara-on-the-Lake. We love all of Canada, And we're praying for revival for Canada and America in these last days. And nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen. All right, we're going back here to the Garden of Eden. And the devil, he came to them in the form of a serpent. But if you go back to the very beginning of the devil, you will find him in the book of Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel. His original name was Lucifer. And I'm in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, and it says in verse 12, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." In that scripture, in Isaiah 14, 13 and 14, we find five prideful I wills. Understand, the devil is all about himself. And what he wants to do in his deception is he wants to make it all about you. He wants you to become, he wants me to become the biggest narcissist that we could ever be. Because that's what he is, friend. He is filled with pride. That is the worst sin of all, by the way. And that's what he tempted Adam and Eve with. When you eat of that tree in the garden, you will be as gods. And here in this passage, we see him saying, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne. I. And there's a verse in Proverbs 16, 18 that says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is the foundation of the cause of man's lost condition. It is actually the principal sin of self-righteousness. And it was pride, get this, that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. They wanted the Sanhedrin. They wanted it to be about them. They were jealous of the popularity of Jesus. It was because of envy that they turned him over to be crucified. And pride is what stops man from becoming a born-again believer. Pride is what stops you from receiving the blessings of God. I remember I used to pray this prayer before I was saved. And you say, you prayed to God before you were a Christian? Yeah, when I needed something. I use God as a genie. And I used to pray, God, help me to become the person I want to be. That was my prayer, literally. Help me to be the person I want to be. And when Jesus came into my life on March the 28th, 1984, and he saved this wretched old sinner whose life was just messed up, I began to pray the right way. Lord, help me by your Holy Spirit to become the man that you want me to be. See, there's two ways you can go. The way you want to go or the way God wants you to go. And they are diametrically opposed. And sin is what stands between us and God. I mean, Lucifer, he was one of the most beautiful angels that were ever created by God. He got kicked out of heaven, if you will, for the sin of pride. I just read it to you. He led a revolution against God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, that one third of the angels threw in their lot with him. Those fallen angels today are demon spirits that are operating in the world, and they are literally following their leader, Lucifer, who is now Satan. Yes, the devil's real and demons are real. But let me tell you something. God is more real. God is more powerful, and his angels are more powerful. But I want you to know, you are no match. I am no match for the devil. You need the Holy Spirit to defeat the temptations, to defeat the demonic spirits that have come to kill, steal, and destroy your life. When you look in the Garden of Eden, we see the progression of sin there. First of all, the Bible says that Eve looked at the tree and it looked desirable to eat. It wasn't, you know, if it was an apple, and it probably was, we think it is. It wasn't a warded apple, you know, that had a worm sticking out of it. No, it looked luscious. It looked vibrant. It was beautiful. And Eve saw it. Adam saw it. And it was desirable to eat. And then all of a sudden, she has this thought that if I eat that fruit, I am going to be as God. And then she took that temptation and she took that fruit and she ate from the one tree that God said, don't eat. You know, we use this analogy in our teaching of the message of the cross. I learned it from Brother Dan Burritt, where you could be in a home. Let's say you were in my home and I said to you, you know, I'm going away for a couple weeks, but I'm going to leave you in charge of my house. Here's the keys and everything in my house you can use. You know, you can use the stereo, everything in the refrigerator, you know, is yours. Eat as much as you want. You know, turn on the TV, you know, use anything in my house is yours, except this one little closet over here. Don't look in that closet and don't go in that closet. Goodbye. I'm going away. I'll see you in 2 weeks. What do you think you're going to do when I leave? You're going to want to look in that closet and see what's in there. See, I gave you everything to the house and you had freedom to use all of it. I gave you one law, one thou shall not. Don't look in that little closet. But you know what happened? You wanted to look in it. And you know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56? The strength of sin is the law. The sin nature that is in you, that is in me, has a propensity to go against what God said. I could give you 10 things to do and one thing not to do, and your sin nature wants to do that one thing that's forbidden. That's the sinful heart of man. The Bible says in Romans 3 that we are all sinners. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It says there are none that seek after God. No, not one. Only God coming into your life can defeat the power of sin. Only what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But Eve, after she looked at the fruit, she thought, I can become as a God. And she took it and she ate the forbidden fruit, which God told her not to do. What did she do next? She then became an influence of sin. She turned it over to Adam to eat it as well. And Adam ate the fruit. And now sin not only came into the world through Eve's sin, but now through Adam's sin, all of humanity would fall. All of humanity would be born, would be conceived in sin. This is how the world got in the mess it's in. Every human being has it now, a human nature, and they have a sin nature. When Adam and Eve sinned, they lost that God consciousness and they gained a sin consciousness. That's why they were hiding, because they knew they were naked. But friend, I got good news for you. When a person becomes born again, according to 2 Peter 1:4, God will give you a third nature. Not only will you have a human nature and a sin nature, but when you're born again, he gives you a divine nature. And that divine nature is brought to you by the Holy Spirit living in your life. And the divine nature is greater, get this, is greater than the sin nature, to where you can have victory over sin. You can be delivered from the bondage of drugs, alcohol, immorality, whatever is plaguing you. The divine nature is stronger than the sin nature. But what one has to realize, how does God allow that divine nature to work in my life to give me victory over the sin nature? One way, he works through faith in Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. The more that you believe and trust in what he did for you at the cross, the more power you will experience from the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God." Think about it. 5 seconds before a man gets saved, born again, where is the Holy Spirit? Is he inside of that man or outside? He's outside. So what is it that causes the greatest miracle ever known to man, the Holy Spirit coming into your heart and causing you to become a new creation, to be born of the Spirit, born again? What causes that? Simple faith in Jesus Christ, who he is, the Son of God, God in the flesh, and what he did on the cross to save you. And so if simple faith in Jesus and the cross brought the Holy Spirit into one's heart and life, why do you think by keeping your faith in Christ and him crucified won't give you victory over the sin nature? Because, friend, it will. The Bible says in Colossians 2:6, "Just as you received him, so ye walk in him." How did you receive him? You receive him by faith. So you walk in him. I remember years ago when I was praying as a college football player one day after practice. Chris D'Amico was All-American, played wide receiver, was a teammate of mine. And he was praying for me to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I was a Christian man, but I had not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had not experienced that power to be filled with the Spirit. And he laid his hands on me and he was praying. And I just was not receiving it. And all of a sudden, I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, how do I receive the gift of the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues? As your word says in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, Acts chapter 10, 44 through 46, Acts 19, 1 through 6. How do I receive this?" And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, first, he asked a question. He said, "How did you receive your salvation?" And I said, "By faith." And he said, "So receive the gift of speaking in other tongues." You see, everything we receive from God is by faith. If you are struggling in your walk tonight, there's an addiction, there is a weakness in your life. And listen, we all have them. Understand tonight, your answer is not a program. I don't have a pill for you. I don't have a formula. What I have for you tonight is a man, Jesus Christ, the man. And if you will look to Jesus alone for your salvation and for your victory over sin, you look to what he did at Calvary's cross and you trust in it alone, he will save you and he will deliver you. This is how sin is defeated. This is how the sin nature is unplugged and the divine nature takes over in your life. It's by faith in the finished work of the cross. 1 John 5:4 says it this way, and I always want to give you Bible because I don't want you to think I'm giving you my opinion. You know, it's not what I say that matters. It's what does God say in his word? And it says in 1 John, and if you have your Bible at home, you can turn to it. But this is one of my favorite verses. And let me just pull it up for you. I could quote it, but I want to make sure you see it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But you have to ask the question, faith in what? If faith is the victory that overcomes the world, what is our faith to be in? And this is speaking here of your faith in Christ and the cross, which then gives the Holy Spirit the latitude to work within your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Tonight, there is a spiritual law that if you follow it, you will have victory. The law of the Spirit of life, Holy Spirit power, works when you put your faith in Jesus alone to save you and to deliver you. This is the answer to the sin problem. And the Lord tonight wants to give it to you. The question is, are you willing to put your faith in it? I'm going to pray with you right now. And wherever you may be tonight, I'm going to ask you to pray from the bottom of your heart with all of your strength right now. Just say these words to God. Dear God in heaven, I know I've sinned. I know I've disobeyed you. But I believe that Jesus Christ, your only Son, came to die on that cruel cross to save me from my sins, to cleanse me, and to deliver me from the power of sin's grip. And so right now, I repent. I repent of looking to religion or trying to defeat sin in my own strength. And I put my faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me on that cross. I believe, Jesus, in my heart, that you were risen from the dead and you are alive. And I ask you tonight to come into my heart and be alive in me right now. Right now, I ask you to deliver me and save my soul. And I ask it all in the name of Jesus, by faith, believe it, that I'm washed, I'm cleansed, and I'm saved. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer with us tonight, no matter where you are in Canada, in Greater Buffalo, I want you to go to your phone. I want to send you a New Testament. I want to send you a Bible and send you some materials that will help you. The number to call, 716-229-8000. That's in Buffalo, 716-229-8000. Up in Canada, 1-888-444-2920. Call now. Operators are waiting. I love you with all my heart. But even more than that, Jesus loves you. God bless you. Go to your phone.
Listening to Cross-Eyed, a radio talk show sponsored by Joshua Revolution. If Cross-Eyed has been a blessing to you, please let us know by sending a testimony of how the program has helped you. If you would like to support Cross-Eyed financially, you can send financial gifts to Joshua Revolution, P.O. Box 923, Grand Island, New York, 14072, or go online to joshuarevolution.org. We thank you for your help and prayers, and remember to tune in next week at 9:30 p.m. for Cross-Eyed, a radio show proclaiming the message of the cross.